have your Bibles tonight. Philippians chapter 1. I'd like to speak primarily on one word tonight. I'd like to read the verse, Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. And then we'll go back to that one word. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Here's the reason: for to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I want to speak to you this evening on expectations. Expectations are important. You've got to have some dreams, some expectations, or you'll go nowhere. You'll be circling. Circumstances will manage your life. When you have the dreams of God in your heart, when you have the expectations of God in your heart, the Lord uses those to move you along, because the desires of our heart, the Lord says, if we give him our heart, he'll give us the desires of our heart. So he uses our dreams and our desires to help us accomplish great things for him. If you don't have any expectations, you won't accomplish much. A teacher's got expectations for their students. A wife has expectations for her marriage. A husband should have expectations for the marriage. Children have expectations for their schooling, for their parents. We all have expectations of our church. I want you to notice the word expectations divided up into three parts. Apokera, dakia, which dakia is to think. Kera is the head. And apo is to think away. So it's to think out, far out. It's to dream. But it's more than a dream. It's something you expect to accomplish. So it's something that you expect to get done. So notice he says here, according to my earnest. Now this word apo in the original text, it puts a passion to it. My earnest desire. According to my earnest expectation and my hope. Now, hope is something, it can be something that you don't expect, but you would like to have it. An expectation is something you plan on accomplishing. Okay? So what expectations do you have for your home? I have expectations for me. Things that I want to accomplish. I want, number one, here he says, it's a negative to never be ashamed. This word ashamed is the word for disfigured spiritually, or to dishonor spiritually. This is not a physical ashamedness. Notice what it says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, that I would do nothing to shame myself in front of you. I wouldn't lie, cheat, or steal. I wouldn't say bad words, tell dirty jokes. I wouldn't do things that would make me feel ashamed in front of you. There are always things we do that, because we're human. I'll say things that maybe I don't intend to say, and I don't even know I've said them. How many have ever done that? And maybe, so I can make myself ashamed of what I say. Well, I'm ashamed I said that. I didn't mean that. But there are some things we mean to do. Lord, please never let me say or do something that I would be ashamed for your sake. But then you'll notice he says, I have an expectation to not do that. That's my plan. And if I mess up my plan, I want to have the courage to apologize, say, I'm sorry I did this. Please forgive me. I'll share one of my fears with you. And then I'll share my expectation. One of my fears is that through this whole process, that I'd make a terrible mistake and be able to come up here and say, I'm sorry, we can't pay our bills. I apologize, I messed up. I can't blame the accountant. Can't blame anybody else but me. There's a fear in my heart. My expectation is that the Lord would help me and that my faith would not be misplaced. My father was a dreamer. He had big dreams and he accomplished many of them. But he hurt some people in the process. But he was a big dreamer. My mother had very small dreams. She was a penny pincher. She knew where every penny was, probably from when she got out of high school. I mean, she knew it. She could keep every penny. Home church had thousands in it, and she was responsible for the books, and she would stay up nights looking for 7 pennies. I would offer to take them out of my pocket and give it to her. She said, those are not the Lord's pennies. I'm looking for the Lord's pennies. Well, I appreciated that. But her dreams were just to make sure everything balanced. My father's dreams were to build companies and help people's lives and do all kinds of things. My mom's dreams were these just right here. And so, you know, it was oil and water in many ways. My father wouldn't give, my mom wouldn't give, and it just didn't work. I dream a lot, and yet I want to be accountable for every penny. And so I trust the Lord in the middle by faith to help me use wisdom on both ends. Lord, I can't do this. Only you can. My dream was to build in Ashburn. But I said, Lord, not my will, yours be done. I didn't know that the Lord was planning on that 33 acres. He knew that we did not have the money. I didn't. To build the roads, traffic lights, and the 4-lane divided highways. And I knew that was a part of the proffers, but Lord, I'll just trust you. You help us to get this done. So we traded 11 acres to Hobie Mitchell and Lansdowne Development, and he built 128 townhomes, made the money, took the money, and built all the roads and traffic lights. That's the Lord's plan. I just wanted our church to be out there. And then the taxes. Do anybody remember how much the taxes were on that land? The payment on $4.8 million was $25,000 a month. Does anybody remember how much the taxes were? We were putting $40,000 a month on the debt. Do you remember how much the taxes were? Anybody know? $15,000 a month. $40,000 covered it almost to the penny. But no progress. Lord, I didn't plan on $15,000 a month. So by getting rid of the 11 acres, it went down to about $9,000 a month. I did plan on that. And then, Lord, how are you going to provide for the architectural fees? Well, we had 2 acres that we could sell, and we had an offer, and we sold it for $750,000, and that paid for Josh Felix and the drawings. I said, Lord, your plan is wonderful. Nobody else wanted that 13 acres because it's too complex. I don't want the 11 acres, or if I want the 11 acres, I don't want the commercial part. I don't want to build, people that build townhomes don't build shopping centers. And people that build shopping centers don't build townhomes. And so nobody really wanted the property. The Lord saved it for us. And so then all that got done. And if you remember, how many of you remember when he voted to build the outdoor chapel for $300,000? That was about 8 years ago. How many of you remember that? Do you remember that? A few of you? Some of you are paying attention. Okay, that's good. And so we voted to build this $300,000 chapel so we could have prayer meetings out there, and that would get us off the $9,000 in taxes. The night we voted on that, does anybody remember what happened? Our attorney, land use attorney, had been voted in the year before into the state house. That night, he called me and said, Pastor, I got good news for you. Because he was our representative to the county to try to get out of the $9,000. What can we do to get out? They said, build something on that property. So we put that little outdoor chapel out there. So we're going to build that, and then we'll be off the taxes. And so he called me that night and said, I just want you to know, on June 21st, and this was like in May, he said, the State House has voted tonight or yesterday that all churches are tax exempt for the land they own. I said, how'd that happen? He said, I saw the predicament y'all were in, and I didn't think it was fair for churches across the state. So I sponsored a law, and it got passed. I got up beside my bed. I said, Lord, how do I thank you? He did it. And then we built our ball fields and we started playing out there, but we couldn't sell this property. Lord, you got to sell this property before we can build. Lord, I don't understand. And so for 5 years, tried. My expectations were that the Lord was going to do it, but my expectations, he had plans to use those expectations in a different way. How many of you have ever done that for you? And so then a very nice young man from Peterson Companies. By the way, they built Cross Trails, the Walmart in Leesburg. That's their division, subdivision. They built all that commercial. They put an offer on our property. And it would have been enough to be able to build our new church if we sold it. And then the last week before it was to close, they dropped us. I said, Lord, why would they do that? Well, I don't understand what you're doing. And so then we put it back on the market because we knew somebody was interested in it because we had found Concora. I wasn't looking for Concora, but the realtor that died of COVID 2 years ago found the property and said, I've got a better property for you than Ashburn. If I could sell Ashburn for you, would you like that one? I said, let us look at it. And everybody liked it. Better than the Ashburn property. And so I said, well, okay. And we all talked about it and voted on it. And there were people offering us $22 million, $23 million. And one man, I said, Lord, it's going to take 26. Would you do that? One guy that had never built a doghouse in Loudoun said, I'll give you 26. And everybody laughed. He can't do it. He said, I can do it. And he said, I'll get it done in 12 months. And Concora's already upset with us because Peterson didn't buy us. They're putting pressure on us. Okay, I'll give you an extension for 12 months, but that's it. None of the other people would commit to getting it done for 12 months. Nobody. But this one guy, I've never dealt with Loudoun, but I'll get it done. And we went out to meet with him. And we said, Lord, this feels like this is what you want. We prayed about it. So we signed the contract. And when we signed the contract with him, all the other guys said, we'll give you $26 million too. I said, sorry, it's too late. But we're not going to get it, promised to get it done in 12 months. And he got it done in 11 months and like 20-something days. And Concora said, you got to close now. We couldn't close because Concora didn't do some things. And they were blaming us. Do you remember when they wanted to charge us $200,000 extra for a month extension? Lord, you've got to do this. Now keep in mind, on the 11th month and 10 or 12 days, the board of supervisors voted to approve us that night. We were a few days short of losing our Concora land. The Lord says, I got this. I had expectations, but Lord, you've got to do this. It's beyond me. And so I looked down here and said, Lord, I don't want to be ashamed that I didn't try, but Lord, I don't want to be ashamed that I tried to push it through. Lord, you've got to do this. I can't do it. How many of you think I could have done anything with that board of supervisors? Only God could have done that. And what about Kencora? Oh, what a nightmare. Man, they're impossible to deal with. How many of you have seen One Loudoun? It's all finished pretty well. Have you seen that? All those buildings? Kencora started before they did. All they got is a few apartments. They got drawings more than One Loudoun. But they don't know what they're doing. And so, Lord, what are you doing now? This other church said we can do it. They actually got to the finish line, but the extension time on the loan was too short, and the bank said no. And then the Lord sends Dominion and says, we like the buildings. We should have bought them 3 years ago. We looked at them. But it was $2 million less. It was 12 million. We said, well, it's 14 million now. And we're not going to pay for your realtor's fees. We didn't know it, but they had a realtor. And he charged them $340,000. So they had to pay $2.34 million more. The Lord knew we needed that. That's what Paul feels. So all of this time, I see these expectations. Now, let's just put that aside a little bit, the buildings. We're coming back to that, what he wants us to do with those buildings. But my point to you is that what does he want you to do with the body he's given you, with the mind he's given you? What is your earnest expectation for him? Well, I don't want to do some awful thing that would shame you, Lord. But I do want my life, notice the next phrase here, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified. I want to lift you up, Lord. I want my life to make you bigger in the eyes of the world so that they see you lifted up, and more so than anything else in my life, I want my life to magnify you, to shine on you and make you bigger than anything else in my life. That's what Paul said. That's what I want. Lord, I want you to use my life to magnify you. I want you to protect me from the great sin, as David said in Psalm. But Lord, I want you to help me to have enough faith to do what you expect me to do with my life. I want to dream as far as you want me to dream. Lord, I want my expectations to be there. And then, Lord, I want to trust you to do it. I want every person in this room, I want to be holy. I want every thought to be obedient to Christ. I don't want one thought in my mind that would displease him. I want that for you. I want you so desirous, your expectations to be so yielded to him that you would say, Lord, I want every thought that I have to be pleasing to you. So that means I can't have lustful thoughts without having to say, Lord, I'm so sorry, forgive me. I'm ashamed. I've dishonored you. Lord, I want my thoughts, if they're put on that screen, to magnify you. I want every teenager to have those thoughts. I'd like for every adult to have those thoughts. Check your thoughts with the Lord. I expect your thoughts that you would say, Lord, I want to be pleasing to you. I want you to have the dreams that your life would magnify the Lord. That people would see you. Now, Temple Baptist Church, I want the church collectively to have the same exact dreams. and that we would want to help people in the world that don't know about Christ to hear the gospel. I want us, and so I want our church to be missions minded, to be minded about, Lord, I want to think about how we can better reach the world. So our logo for our church is Temple Baptist Church with a world under it. Lord, we care about the world. You've got to care about the world because Jesus cared about you. That's the reason missions trips. They're not an activity of the church. They're our core activities. When you sing at the church, when you're in the choir and the orchestra, you know what I was really afraid of tonight? I was really afraid that maybe Carrie would get Sarah's bell or Sarah would get Mrs. Scott's bell and they'd start a fight up here. That was my bell. You know, you see them getting back and forth. What touched my bell? Can you imagine that? Have you ever had that thought, Carrie? No, okay, I have. Because I know I'm going to have to settle it, you know. But you shouldn't have picked up her bell. I got this fear in my heart. My expectation is that Carrie would pick up only her bells. And that I saw over here that, I saw Lisa Lane. She's new. And boy, she was ringing those bells perfectly. I didn't want somebody to get her bell either. So I'm thinking there, Lord, help them to work. Wasn't that beautiful? I mean, everybody ringing at the same time. That's what I want our church to be. Everybody ringing at the same time. At the right time. But you know what? I can only control one person. And that's me. But I'm praying and I'm pleading and my earnest expectation is that we can do it together. And that we will serve the Lord together. And you know, we're building a building and so we're 30 something million dollars into the building and there's been nobody fighting yet. Now, I use the word yet because that's the old devil's plan and the Lord's plan is not. And so all of our thoughts have been, how can we get this done? And we'll work together. I'm so grateful for godly men and women that I'll do my part. That's my hope. I can't control you, so my expectation's a little weak. But I see the choir and I see the orchestras, but we have made plans, Brother Brandon. I said, Brother Brandon, how big you want the orchestra pit? And he said, oh, so if the orchestra pit is too small, it's his fault. If it's too big, it's his fault. But when we went through the plan of the building, Scott, how big do you want the youth room? Well, so if it's not big enough, it's his fault, okay? Seriously, we all work together. My expectation is that everybody in this room would work diligently for yourself, and somebody in your family would have the expectation that everybody in your family would stand before the Lord and hear two words, well done. That's my expectation. That everybody, Ola was saved in our church. My expectation is that Ola would stand before the Lord with Esther and both of them would hear well done. I hope that is Adel's dream, expectation. Brother Joe Dill here, saving our church, Carolina. My prayer is that their expectation would be, we want our boys to hear two words, well done. And I want to show them so that I hear well done. I can't put those expectations in your heart. You have to say, Lord, I want you to be pleased with me. You got two choices. I don't want to be ashamed. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 John 1:28. I'm not the only person that's had these expectations. John, the apostle, verse 28. And now, little children, you're the little children. He's responsible for. And please don't take it offensively. You're the spiritual ones that he's pleading for when he writes this book, the book of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Notice he says, and now little children, abide in him. Look, stay close to the Lord, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, boldness, and not be ashamed before him. Same thing. I don't want to put my head down when I see the Lord because I didn't do what he expected or I did what he didn't expect. I know he's coming and everybody here is going to see him. The question is, will you be ashamed or will you hear him say, well done? Now, you first have to trust Christ as Savior. You have to know the Lord as your Savior. If you don't know that tonight, you're going to miss seeing the Lord. You don't have a home in heaven. And it doesn't mean that you're any less than me. There are people maybe more than me. You try harder than me. I remember being in Mexico and seeing a lady, I don't know, there's 100 and something steps, and she crawled on those steps, up those steps to this huge crown on top of the mountain of God, and you could see blood on the steps, and she crawled up there regularly to say, Lord, I want you to know, and each step she'd stop and pray. Lord, watch me, see me, I'm serious. See me. I don't do that. But you don't have to do that. You have to give him your heart. You have to give him your sin. If you had to do that, Jesus didn't need to die if you could earn your way up. And so somebody's got to tell them. And yet, I want everybody in this room to hear two words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, I want us to have strong families. I want you to have strong marriages. It grieves me every time somebody says, well, I'm not happy with my mate. They don't treat me like I used to. They used to. I think I'm going to get a divorce. I get sick in my stomach. I know what happens. I saw it happen in my family. I know the pain of it. And I don't want that for any of you. But your thoughts have to be pleasing to the Lord. Your actions have to be pleasing to the Lord. I want you to dream. Have expectations. And expectations require actions. So are you reading? Are you praying? Are you having your devotions? Are you coming to church faithfully? You're the home crowd here tonight. This is the core of Temple Baptist Church right here. And so when we have dedication night, you know, I want you to come. We're going to dedicate the buildings because you're the ones, the backbone of the church. Yes, there are a lot of people maybe can't be here tonight. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying the people that come faithfully. Most people don't go to church once a week, let alone three times. But most people are not happy like most of the people in our church. Their kids are not like our kids. Now, our kids have got problems. How many of you know that? Well, our kids are not perfect. But you know what? Neither are our parents. And neither is your pastors. I know Brandon's not. I know Scott's not. I work with them. They know I'm not because they work with me. We're all flawed sinners. But the question is our expectation, Lord, I don't want to shame you or me, and I want to magnify you and not me. That's our expectation. And so, the new building, when we get over there, I don't know how many have been through it. I am certain there's going to be people walking in the building and say, why do we do this? Why do we pick that color? Well, I anticipated that question, so we have an interior designer that she picked this color scheme from this to this and said, You like this, you like this. So we just pick things in that vein. That's the reason the building is not burgundy. Because she said, that's not in anymore. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't really care. I just wanted to make sure I had a backup plan. So if somebody says, I don't like the colors, wasn't me, I didn't do it. And so where the pianos go, we got a piano over there and a piano over here. I want you to know I didn't place them. Brandon did the drawing. He took the paint and he did it right there, okay? We all work together at it. There's going to be things you don't like. My encouragement is that we just realize we all did our best. And the Lord has a plan. He has expectations for us. Why did he give us a new place? Because he expects something from us. He expects more from us. When I say more, that you and I would be a greater magnifying glass for his name. You young people, that you'd be a greater testimony for Jesus Christ. Things will be more comfortable out there in the sense that there's more parking. Nobody's going to have to park on the grass anymore. The restrooms are more centrally located. Water fountains have got the little bottle filler. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you is that important to you? You kind of like that idea. Well, you know, I don't even know what that means. I've seen them a couple of times, and I asked the architect, oh, yeah, they got bottle fillers. Just, okay, I'm anxious to see what it looks like. But my expectation that all of us walk in and sit down, the only thing I'm disappointed about is that button is missing. And John Stryker appears right down here. That's my only disappointment with that building. It doesn't have the ability to move the back row to the front. But other than that, you know, and everybody's been coming up to me, Pastor, where are we going to put the Lord's Supper stuff? Oh, we thought about that. Remember that, Scott? Remember, Brother Brandon? We thought about that. It's inside the Lord's Supper table. Oh, that's cool. We tried to think about it, but if we forgot something, I just remind you of this. When we bought the land 3.5, 4 years ago, the floodplain was 20 feet farther out. And the Army Corps of Engineers changed that after we bought the property. So they took 20 feet of our property for 1,000 feet. So we had to do some things to make it work. But you know what it does do? It is 2.5 times bigger than this site. So how many of you, the thought is, you mean I got to walk more? It's good for your health. Okay? It will help you get your 5 miles in. If you'd like, start on the back corner and walk around to get to the front door. That's good for you. But I tell you what it doesn't have. It doesn't have one step in it. You know why? Sort of personal. My wife couldn't get to the choir easily. How many of you had to help my wife get to the choir once or twice? Okay? And she would just weep when she gets home sometimes. She says, I think I'm in the way. I think I probably should get out of the choir. No. And Steve and Ann Jenkins, how many of you know who they are? Ann's got arthritis. She's been over a little bit. They asked her, I said, Pastor, is it going to have that curb in the front of the church? So I told the architect, no curbs at any door. Okay. I did try to say, all of us as a staff, we tried to make it for you and your ease. I even had people ask me, could you put a credit card holder on the pews? I said, no. But, you know, hey, Pastor, could you get a cup holder on the pew? No. But I tell you what I did. The fabric is lighter. And I know somebody's going to say, oh, Pastor, why did y'all do that? If we spill coffee on it, it's going to ruin it. So I've got pictures, right, Scott? Brandon? Where I took the coffee, I took the sample and I poured coffee on it and left it till noon. And I poured grape juice on it and I left it till noon. And I poured a couple of other things. I just grabbed stuff and poured it on it. And the representative said, whoa, we've never done that before. We're buying it, it better work. And so About 4 hours later, went out there and wiped it all off. It worked perfect. So if you spill coffee on your seat, it's going into your pants. It's going to run right down underneath your seat, and we're going to see you walk out. Your skirt's going to have right here chocolate on. I'm going to say, told ya. I am certain there's going to be some things you don't like. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you one that you're not going to like. I don't like it. Didn't like it from the start, but I had no choice. We have double parking. How many know what that is? Other than our guys that have already showed it to. Let me tell you this. The property is not 19 acres what we had at Ashburn. It's only 13 acres, 12 and a half, 13. It's 2.5 times bigger here, but it's not as big as the Ashburn property. And so in order to get enough parking to have the auditorium seating what we needed to be, we had to have double parking. The engineer came up with it. I said, I don't like that. Change that. He said, can't. Why? Not enough room. So what it is this. At the far end of the parking lot, there's double parking. It is parking up against the curb and a car parked behind it. So on a big day, you're going to have to get a parking buddy. About 99% of the time, you won't need that. But if you take two cars, one of you park in front, one of you park in back. I'll go with Scott and say, Scott, you want the front, you want the back. And we'll park that way. On a big day, it's the way we get parking for 722 people. It's really the way we get parking for 922 people. When you see it, it wasn't my idea. It was the engineer's. But it's the only way to make it work. It won't be a problem for most of the time. How many of you realize there's a wall up there? It's 19 feet tall. It's a beautiful wall. And I know some mothers are going to say, what happens if my kid starts to climb the fence? Well, we got three choices. You can tell them no. Two, we can electrify it. Three, we can put barbed wire at the top. Which one's best for you? All I'm trying to say to you is, so we went out and we found a fence from embassies in Africa that's called a no-climb fence. Now, young people, close your ears. It's called a no-climb fence. It's really hard to climb, but you can see right through it. They put it around embassies. We paid a lot of money for that fence so that it would make it safer. Okay? But if you are determined and you climb over that fence and you try to jump down, you could probably be 3 feet shorter by the time you get to the ground, okay? Because it will hurt. It's 19 feet down. All I'm trying to say to you is this. Your expectations, it is one of the most beautiful buildings I have ever seen. And the architect is flying his family down so that they can see it. He is so proud of it. When we started, I said, look, Josh, I want the church to be a place that honors the Lord of heaven. It's not a warehouse. I don't want to see metal in the ceilings. It's the Lord's house. Do you understand that? He said, I do. You'll be proud of it. I had no idea he was going to put the light bulbs 51 feet in the air. But it's beautiful. So when you say to me, Pastor, who's going to change the light bulbs? Dave Pardee is. I'm not. How do we get up there? Well, we've got a plan. It'll work. But we did put LED lighting in the whole building that it is supposed to last for 10, 12 years. So I'll be in heaven by then. It'll be your problem. I'm not going to worry about it. Seriously, it can be worked. Do you know how we change those light bulbs up there? Someone brings in a lift, takes the pew, unhooks it, takes it out, pulls it over, goes up, change the light bulb. That's what we'll have to do there. It's not easy, but the light bulbs don't go out like these once every 10, 12 years. There are going to be issues come up. If somebody spills something, now listen, I'm probably going to ask, we're going to talk about it, but probably going to ask no coffee in the auditorium without a lid on it. But if you do spill it on the seat, it'll run off, okay? But We want you to be cognizant of the fact that it's the Lord's house. Most of us can make it an hour without having to drink coffee, okay? Or tea. I don't like coffee. I only drink to keep my voice warm so it doesn't get more gravelly and sound worse than it does. My point to you in this room is let's serve the Lord together with all of our heart. Let's magnify him. Let's let the building that the Lord's given to us. When we started off, my dream, I'm going to tell you, we had an equity line for $6 million. We owed 4.8. The new buildings were $13 million. This building was for sale. They were $12 million. This building was for sale for $12 million. Do you get the math? It works. I had no idea the building's going to be $50 million. But the Lord did. We haven't asked for one penny from anybody. Just do your best to honor the Lord with your tithes and offerings. I encourage you to do that. The Lord is taking that and multiplying it. If you ask me today, if you ask Dave and I today, where did we get $50 million? I can't tell you. I just know he did it. I can go back and see little things that the Lord did. And a little later on, I want to tell you about some of the things. I'll try to put them into some of the messages, some of the miracles that the Lord has done. But we're almost there. Could I plead with you to have your expectations about the buildings, about your life, to be honoring to him? Lord, I want my thoughts to be pleasing to you. In nothing do I want to be ashamed. Or do I want to shame you? But in everything, I want to magnify your name. Tonight, we're going to take the Lord's table. Could I ask you to take all of your dreams, lay them at his feet, and say, Lord, you be the determining factor whether they come true or not. I'll leave them in your hands. Fathers, have expectations for your families. Mothers, young people, have expectation for your life so that everybody here hears two words when you see the Lord. Well done. Let's pray. Father, tonight, I ask that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that we would see Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, in a new light, Lord. Our expectations are yours. You take our dreams and expectations and you manage them the way you choose. And Lord, would you help us to magnify you with our lives, our thoughts, our families, our plans. Lord, would you be honored? In your name we pray.